I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
The Suns take game one.
I can't even believe how good Giannis was. I saw his knee bend backwards a week ago. I don't know how the man got out there and played as well as he did.
They're going to have to just change it up. A steady diet of the same thing is not going to work.
It's a problem. It's a big problem for the Milwaukee Bucks, and it has them in a situation where tonight is an absolute must-win. And I can't tell you how much I hate that phrase. Chris Carlin in for the fellas today. Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Game two of the NBA Finals is tonight between the Bucks and the Suns. So let's hit some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Game one was all about the inability of trying to guard against the pick and roll of the Phoenix Suns. And the Milwaukee Bucks just had absolutely no answers. And it's amazing to consider that it is just the simplest play in the game, and yet it caused so many problems for them. Look, it causes problems all the time, and the purpose of it is obviously to create mismatches and give you opportunities at better looks. But the way that the Suns did it was absolutely brilliant, and the way that the Milwaukee Bucks tried to defend it, it just looked as if they did not have any concept of what to do. What is this mystifying play I've never seen before in my entire life? Oh my God, they put a man in front to set an almost pick-like thing so as to open up space and change matchups. Yeah, that's what happens. And I'll tell you what, there are times you feel like Mike Budenholzer has this team here, and it's almost in spite of him that they are in the finals. I can't believe that's the case, but it does feel like it's the case sometimes. Well, game one, these teams don't know each other well. It's a feeling out process. It's not a feeling out process when you can watch Chris Paul, Devin Booker, what they do all season long, how good they are at getting fouls, getting to the line, and you're the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's the last thing you want to do. And you have been brilliant yourselves all season long at not allowing teams to get to the line, not fouling, the best in the game at that. And yet somehow the Suns completely dominated that aspect of it. You can't put Brook Lopez in situations to fail. And when Brook Lopez is matched up on the perimeter or anywhere as a result of a pick and roll against Chris Paul or against Devin Booker, he can't be successful. Devin Booker did nothing but attack early, and the officials jumped right on it. I will say this for Budenholzer. He did yesterday. When asked about the disparity in free throws, remember, the Suns in game one made 25 of 26, and the Bucks in game one made 9 of 16. That's quite the disparity, especially when Chris Middleton takes 26 shots in a game and doesn't get to the line. It's noticeable. So as you would expect, he was asked about it yesterday. Some coaches, they will throw caution to the wind and pay the $20,000 fine for, you know, criticizing the officials. Mike Budenholzer, if he has been deft at anything, this might have been the best thing he's done so far in the NBA Finals. One game, yes, but this might have been the best thing he's done. If I can play it, let's see if it'll go.
It's a huge part of the game. You know, they have 25 points from the free throw line. You know, we're a team that prides ourselves in defending and being able to be good defensively without fouling. I can't remember the last time a team got 25 free throws in a game against the Bucks. And then conversely, you know, the way Giannis attacks, the way Chris attacks, as many opportunities as Chris has with the ball. It's frustrating, but it's part of the sport. It's part of the game. We got to be better defensively. We got to keep them off the free throw line, and we got to be more aggressive attacking and getting to the free throw line and getting to good offense.
What a job. What a job right in the middle there. We're not directly criticizing the officiating, but we are saying, man, it's such a big part of the game. And, wow, when you do look at it and, you know, Giannis, the way he drives, and Middleton, and we didn't really get to the free throw line, it's noticeable. It's important. It's big. What he did right there was get his message across to the officials that he would like to see this maybe called a little bit more evenly than it was the other night. Now, we'll see tonight if that was effective. What I appreciate is the fact that he didn't shell out 20 grand in the process of doing it. So many times we see coaches that are more than willing to take the hit financially and get fined for criticizing the officials to get it across. That was some really neat sidestepping there, but really delivering the message without having to, in essence, curse anybody out by Mike Budenholzer. So that's going to be a big factor tonight. The even bigger factor is how he's going to be able to handle defending against, just as I said earlier, the simplest play in the game, but one that is going to cause major, major problems considering how well Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns do it. And look, Chris Paul has been amazing, absolutely amazing, has the look of somebody that right now is not going to be denied in the NBA Finals, smells it, understands that it's about each moment and winning each moment of the game and winning each quarter and winning each game. All cliche, yes, all very, very true. It's their own little version of trusting the process, if you will. Trust the process of each game to get there. He's not going to let any of it get out in front of him. But man, he looks like he's not going to be denied, doesn't he? Here's Monty Williams. Let's listen to the Suns head coach about getting the most out of Chris Paul.
Don't get in his way. Don't try to overcoach. And I try to be there for him when he has a moment where he's thinking of an environment or a play that we need to run. And I think that's where we complement each other a lot better than I complimented him the first time around. But when he's in those moments, what I'm thinking about is the spacing around him and making sure everybody gets to their spots quickly, being able to set screens with great angles, which I thought DA has done increasingly better over the course of the playoffs, and we got to be even better in game two. But when Chris is playing in those moments, for me as a coach, I don't want to crowd his mind with a lot, but I also want to be able to have an answer for him when he looks over to me and he needs to play.
I just love the way this whole thing has been put together. With Paul, the coach on the floor, with Monty Williams and the response he's gotten from his team, man, the Phoenix Suns have been the best team in this postseason. I don't think there's any questioning that. I don't care about injuries. I don't care about anything else. You know, last week we're discussing whether or not you're going to look at this championship a little bit differently if they were to win it, because you've had all of the players that have been injured against them so far, whether it's AD and the Lakers, whether it's Kawhi and the Clippers, whether it's Jamal Murray and the Nuggets. Well, you got Giannis back here. There is nothing about this that is even going to be suspect. And I have to tell you, I love the Suns to win this game tonight. And for the Bucks, this is an absolute must win. Do you agree? 888-729-3776. Is tonight a must win for the Bucks? 888-729-3776. We're getting to your calls here in just moments on Bart and Hahn. Chris Carlin filling in for the guys. And look, I hate the phrase. I truly do. When you're throwing it around, it feels empty at times, doesn't it? Let me give you a couple of numbers to dictate why it's not empty when it comes to the NBA Finals. It's not empty because teams that have gotten out to a 2-0 series lead in the NBA Finals are 31-4 winning the series. 31-4 winning the series. Wow. We'll get to your calls on it in a moment, but think about that. You want to know the four teams that have done it? The Celtics in 69, the Portland Trailblazers in 77 with Bill Walton, the Miami Heat in 2006, and the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the bench of the Milwaukee Bucks, and I do not see LeBron James. I'm not even sure that I see Kyrie Irving over there. That is a tall order for a team that is still trying to figure itself out. What I mean by that is, like, are you best served by still trying to figure out exactly how Drew Holiday and Giannis are going to fit together? Is that really what works? 888-729-3776. Is this a must-win? It absolutely feels like it is when those are the situations that you are in. It's not 2-3-2 anymore, so you don't get three in a row at home. So you have to factor in that now, when you're trying to do this with the games as spread out as they are, you got to come back to Phoenix for a game five. You're going to have to get one on the road. Putting yourself in that hole early, that is not the way to go against a team like this. It's not. It puts you in big, big trouble. The Milwaukee Bucks are not capable of coming back from two games to none. Even going home, they're not capable of doing it against this team. They did it against the Nets, but that was a Nets team that was banged up. And yeah, they had Kevin Durant, but they didn't have a whole lot else. And that's why they ended up falling short. You didn't have James Harden being able to go full speed. He was about 20% of James Harden at that point. 888-729-3776. Canada in North Carolina is going to start us off on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. It's Chris Carlin filling in. Canada?
Chris, you had it right. Canada with the K. That's right.
Okay. What's up, bud?
I want to let you know. So I just think it's absolutely absurd to say that tonight is a must-win for the Bucks.
Why?
Because after Phoenix does win tonight, tomorrow, everyone's going to say Phoenix did exactly what they were supposed to do. The Bucks are not playing at home tonight. So in every playoff series, it all starts the same way. You expect the home team to hold court. That means that every series you expect it to start 2-0. But I understand that everyone gets paid to overreact and be dramatic and come with a hot take.
But it's not a hot take when of the 35 times that it's happened, Canada, that 31 times the team that gets out two games to none wins the series. That's not a hot take.
Are we talking about the finals? Or
tepid at best.
Are we talking about the finals completely or throughout?
The finals.
Because I've been watching. Only in the finals is what you're talking about right now.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Great. So
yeah, well, that's a big, great is right. That's a big number to me. Sorry. That's a big, big number that you have to try to overcome, and it's not easy to do. John in Milwaukee is up next. I wonder what he'll say. Hello, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
sir. The Bucks have not performed any differently in this series with the Suns than they have with other series in this playoff. They haven't played well in game one, and they've lost. So to say, yes, it's better if they win tonight, it's not the end-all, be-all, the world's over if they lose. You had mentioned Brooklyn. I don't see anybody on Brooklyn who's better than Kevin Durant, since he's, like, right now probably the best player in the world. And the Bucks were able to come back.
You don't see anybody on Phoenix who's as good as them. They may not have Chris Paul's not as good as Kevin Durant anymore, but you've got more volume. You've got great players at all the key positions. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. They're deeper than the Nets were. They're a better team than the Nets were when the Nets were banged up. When the Nets are healthy, they're better. 888-729-3776. We shift to some baseball for a moment. And the Yankees, last night, make it two in a row. Woohoo! We did it. We did it. 5-4, they win in Seattle late at night. But that wasn't really the story. The story was who was closing. It was not Aroldis Chapman. It, in fact, was Chad Green.
Obviously, Greeny's throwing the ball incredibly well. And just with the one-run game there, and Chappie coming off of 20-something pitches last night, I want to make sure I get him in situations that I feel really good about. And just felt like Greeny was the right call tonight.
Yeah, the night before was a 12-1 game. And he felt really good about having Chapman in that game, but not in a one-run game. That was Aaron Boone. Let's hear some more from Aaron Boone. And now having won three in a row, even though Chapman's struggling, could we see a change there? What's the situation moving forward in the ninth inning?
Look, there might be some different spots here in the short term as we're kind of getting him back on track, where I want to get him into situations where I think he can be really successful. But ultimately, I think it's important to remember he's not very far removed from as good as I've ever seen him for a couple months stretch to start this season. And there's no question in my mind he can get back to that point. I want to get him there in a smart way where he has chances to succeed and work through some of the things he's working through. But I'm confident he'll get back to that point. But this thing will continue to evolve.
Yeah, it's going to continue to evolve until Aroldis Chapman looks like he has any part of his confidence back. And make no mistake, whether you want to look at this as a mechanical thing, whether you want to look at it as a sticky stuff thing, however you want to approach his problems, it's mental. His problems are mental right now because all of those things are in his brain. If you take the sticky stuff away and he doesn't feel like he can grip the ball as well, is he going to feel good throwing it? Of course not. He hasn't been able to control his fastball in the least. Do you think that spirals a bit in a pitcher like Chapman's mind? Well, all closers are nuts. They have to be. And they have to be put in just the right situation. And everything has to be perfect. God forbid a closer pitches in a non-save situation when they're, you know, you give them a 4-run lead, they can't get it out. You give them a 3-run lead, they're unhittable. As ridiculous as that is, we've seen guys where that has been the case. Chapman right now has this thing spiraling on him. He's used to being the big bully by throwing the ball 118 miles an hour through a wall and being intimidating and giving you that stare at the end of the ninth inning. But now he can't do that because he can't find a strike zone with a GPS with his fastball. And the one time he actually did the other day against Pete Alonso of the Mets, he decides to throw a slider after he just blew one past Alonso in his eyes. And guess what? He hung it and it got knocked out of the ballpark and he got lit up after that, after the game was tied. This does not have to be a 1-week thing. This does not have to be a 2-week thing. Yes, the Yankees are in trouble with their season, even though they've won three in a row and it's tightened up a little bit more and they're 3.5 out in the wild card. They have been a yo-yo throughout 2020 and 2021. And I don't see any reason why you'd expect that to change. So Chapman does not go back in the closer's role until his mind is right. And by the way, Chad Green's pretty darn good. There's really no reason. Chad Green is a guy that, yeah, he's struggled before, but he's got that closer type stuff. He's got the fastball up in your eyes that you can't help but chase. It's not like they're in bad hands. He's a pitcher that doesn't get the credit he deserves because he's on a team with Aroldis Chapman and with Zach Britton, two guys that have been elite closers in the game for a long time. Chad Green is more than capable here. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn, 888-729-3776. All of that was plenty of Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Now, don't forget, it is game 2 tonight on ESPN Radio. the Suns and the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. In moments, more of your calls at 888-729-3776. Is this a must-win for the Milwaukee Bucks, as annoying as that phrase can be? I think it is. I think it is. Plus, the Midsummer Classic is going to be without one of the great stories in the game. But that's actually good for the game. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
The best young stars in the game not going to Denver. He's one of the great stories of the year, too. Chris Carlin for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Jacob deGrom will not be in Denver at the Midsummer Classic. Why? Well, for a myriad of reasons, really. The Mets were trying to get two starts out of him prior to the All-Star break by starting him on Tuesday night and then starting him on Sunday. Now, they got rained out Tuesday night, so they played a doubleheader yesterday. DeGrom pitched the first game of that, and you would think, well, he won't pitch on Sunday. Now they've even hinted at pitching him for two or three innings on Sunday, which makes absolutely no sense, but that's very Metsian. But DeGrom, for his part, even though he's been as brilliant as he has in the first half of the year, he's making no bones about it. He is not going to the All-Star game this year.
No, you know, I've thought about it, and, you know, obviously being named to an All-Star team is a great honor, but I'm going to take that time and just enjoy it with my family, whether I pitch Sunday or not, so, and get healthy for the second half, and, you know, hopefully, you know, Ty gets in there and takes my place.
He's hoping that Taiwan Walker, his teammate, who's had an outstanding first half of the season, gets an opportunity to do it, and that's admirable. And normally you might say, well, DeGrom needs to think bigger here. Think about the moment of him facing Shohei Ohtani in the first inning of the All-Star game and how electric that would be. DeGrom doesn't owe anything to anyone in this instance at all. Now, Ohtani, he deserves all the kudos you want for doing what he's doing. Home run derby, for pitching in the game, and for playing in the game. That's fantastic. DeGrom, whose ERA for the majority of the first half has been under one, is not going to be there because he's also been banged up in the first half, and this is the right move. He's had three different occasions where he has left starts, one of which ended up with him having an IL stint, and the Mets have seen him throw more than 100 miles an hour over 190 times this season. He has backed down on that just a hair the last couple of starts, so you haven't seen it as often. But when you do that, and you have all these little things pop up, isn't your body trying to tell you, maybe you're putting a little bit too much stress on us right now? Which leads me to this. Cockamamie is the only word I can come up with. Cockamamie idea of pitching DeGrom for a few innings on Sunday. Why? Why do that on short rest? Why why. The Mets are playing the Pirates on Sunday. They're in first place. I get it. Every game's important. Blah, blah, freaking blah. In this case, you have got the best pitcher in the game who has had all of those ailments happen in the first half of the year, and you want to sit and make him pitch two or three innings when you have a chance to get him a full 8-9 days off? If you pitched him in the first game after the All-Star break, are you out of your minds? Why? Why would you ever do that? What is the cost-benefit, the risk-reward there? It doesn't exist. And it would really make absolutely no sense to pitch him on Sunday. I get it. He's somebody that's going to want to go out there and do that. I got to protect the player from himself sometimes. That's why I'm thrilled he's not going to Denver, because in Denver, he could easily get hopped up for that moment with Ohtani and overthrow. We've seen it in All-Star games before, as I talked about yesterday with Pedro Martinez in 99. And he ends up, you know, going in the second half, got lit in his first start, went on the DL for a few weeks. Not good. Not good. Baseball is better served seeing DeGrom in the second half of this season potentially chase the finish of a year that we have never seen before. He has more than an outside shot at finishing the year with less than a 1 ERA. Think about that for a moment. In the year of the pitcher in 1968, Bob Gibson had a 1.12, and that was the year of the pitcher where 27 guys had an ERA less than 3 who were starters. That doesn't happen even this year, with all of the controversies around the ball and spider tack and everything. It doesn't happen this year, and he's doing it. It's amazing. I want to see that. I don't care about him facing Shohei Ohtani in a meaningless game. Not in the least in this case. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Return to the phones. Are you okay with DeGrom skipping the All-Star game? Chris in Philly is up next on Barton on ESPN Radio. Chris, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the NBA Finals.
Yeah, we can. It's fine. You're here.
Go ahead. Listen, this series
this is America.
Is not
you can do what you want.
Okay, listen, this series is not just a must-win for the Milwaukee Bucks, but the entire city and the franchise and the organization. And here's why. If they lose, and because they're not, because next year they're not going to go back to the finals because they got the Sixers and the Brooklyn Nets in their way. So if they go 2 years, maybe so two, 1 or 2 years without going back to the finals, Giannis is out of there. And I really want him to finish his career with that team. So I hate super teams, man. I cannot stand super teams. So I need him to win this, not just the game, but also the entire series.
Well, it's gonna be a negative narrative on whoever loses this series, because for Chris Paul, he needs a championship to prove who he is. And if he loses this series, it far outweighs winning this series. You lose in a year where you had everything break your way in terms of injuries, and you lose to the Bucks in the finals, then people are going to look at Chris Paul like he's not quite what we thought he was. For Giannis, in a season where you had things break right for you and you get to the finals in a year where the Nets were not assembled, this is a golden opportunity. People are going to look at you with a little side eye if you don't win a championship this year. That's for sure. Don't worry about the super teams. I mean, those things, they're just going to happen. And guys are championship chasing right now. And frankly, I've grown accustomed to it, and I don't really blame them. But the question is really, is tonight a must-win? Jerome is in Michigan. He's next. It's Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn. Jerome, what's up, bud?
Hi, Chris. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Happy to. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I agree with you that it is a must-win, because I really can't see them winning 4 out of 5 if they don't win tonight. And it's like you say, they can't let them have a 2-0 lead, because it's like your statistics said, 31-4 it's liable not to happen like they did against Brooklyn. Chris Paul's in a zone right now, and he wants to do this, and this is his last chance, I pretty much think.
Chris Paul right now has that. Thank you, Jerome. Chris Paul has that look right now that you don't see very often. We saw it from LeBron in 2016, but it is a not going to be denied look. You know, you've seen it over the years, but in this case, trying to win that first title, this is one of those instances where it feels like his greatness is going to carry the day eventually. Jacob in Massachusetts is next. Jacob, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. What do you got?
Well, you know, I do not think tonight is the must-win game. It's game three. You know, Giannis was not healthy, obviously, game one playing. I felt like he was out there to be more of a distraction. I think tonight is the night that they're going to...
He had 20 and 17. I mean, he wasn't bad.
No, he's Giannis. Of course he's going to put up numbers, but you know, it's the NBA Finals. He didn't put up the numbers he could up at 100%. And, you know, tonight I think that they, you know, tweak and check out what needs to be changed. You know, give Giannis a little bit more time to get back to 100%. And game three is the must win to get the momentum going home.
Yeah, look, I get the idea that teams are expected to win their games at home, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to go and win the series as a result of it. You don't just assume that if you're the road team, you're giving up the first two games. I know a lot of people have that famous saying, right? It's not a series until a home court team loses a game. Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. This is a game that they need in the worst way. And I don't see the kind of superstar players at the level of LeBron and Kyrie and D-Wade in 06 here for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think Middleton's really good. I think Drew Holiday's really good. And Giannis, I thought, was very good the other day. I don't think any of them are on that level. Those are the teams that came from behind, down two games to none, to win a championship. The Bucks, to me, are not capable of that. They were capable of doing it against a depleted Nets team, but they're not capable of doing it here. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. In moments, unfortunately, some troubling news coming out of Tokyo regarding the Olympics. We fill you in. ESPN and Bart and Han coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han.
Fortunate news coming from Tokyo as we get ready for the Olympic Games beginning on the 23rd of July. Chris Carlin in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Sal Palantonio will join us at the top of the hour to discuss many, many, many NFL issues, not just Aaron Rodgers. I promise you that. We will get into it all just a couple of weeks away from the start of camp. But for those who have not heard, about 2.5 hours ago, the Olympics in Japan declared the country of Japan declared a state of emergency for Tokyo, the host city of the Olympics, as we know, and the rise in COVID cases, especially with the Delta variant being an issue, have led to that, and there will be no spectators at Olympic events now. They made that determination this morning. So you get more and more concerned as that starts to happen that not just the idea of having no spectators, but are we going to have games? You're so far along in the process now, much further than you were when you determined last year to postpone them. How big of a problem is that? I mean, it's a major, major issue if you try to postpone the Olympics if it gets even worse here soon. You've got athletes flying in from all over the world going to compete with a country that is right now being ravaged once again by the COVID by COVID-19 and the variant. So you worry about that continuing to be a problem, and is the Delta variant here going to be a problem for people moving into the fall? How effective are vaccines against it? How is that going to affect the NFL in the fall? Is it going to turn into more of a problem? You certainly hope not. And that's why there has been such a major push for vaccines across the country. But what you're seeing in Japan right now has to be a little bit concerning when there will not be any spectators at all now, based on what we've just learned. And with the Olympics, what, 2 weeks away from starting? Could it actually impact the games again and having them postponed again? When you hear that today, it doesn't feel like it's totally unlikely. Doesn't feel like it's out of the realm one bit. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn, 800-729-3776. 800-729-3776. Robert is in Virginia up next. Robert, what's going on, bud?
I'm going to really enjoy this series, and I think that Milwaukee can win tonight, but I don't think they have to. I was so impressed by the way they played so much better in games 3 and 4 against the Nets, even though the Nets weren't 100%. I think they're a resilient bunch, and I look at the game 5 being the really big game, because even Carlissimo said it takes time with these teams that are in different conferences to really adjust to them 100%, but I think Milwaukee will win those two, and Milwaukee in that game 5 will be the key game.
Listen, and it's 2-2-1-1-1 now, right? It's not 2-3-2. So that obviously would give Phoenix a little bit of an edge in a game 5. Now, having said that, I don't look at the Bucks and think that they're a strong enough team to be able to come back from a 2-0 deficit, that they are locks to win 2 games at home. I just don't. Yes, they have done it before, but that was against a team that did not have its full complement of players. It had one superstar and then everybody else, and Harden comes back on a bad leg and was nowhere near what they needed him to be. This is a team right now with the Phoenix Suns that is all gas, no brakes. It feels like Chris Paul has taken control. Devin Booker's going to end up emerging as one of the great stars in the game as a result of this, and DeAndre Ayton has established himself as not just a double-double, but a dominant player inside. When I see all of that, I think a 2-0 hole, that is a pretty deep hole to try to climb out of for the Milwaukee Bucks, because frankly, I don't think they're good enough. We go around the NFL. Sal Pal next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.